teaching. I'm very excited about that. I just really fast just want to say my great uncle, Pastor Johnny Canada, will be preaching today. I remember when I was younger, he used to lift me up over his head and fly me around like an airplane or Superman. He can't do that now. He also married me and Jamie, and so he has been an amazing, God has provided an amazing example for me, not having a father in my life, to have a great uncle who has devoted his entire life to ministry, to the serving of God. Him and his wife, Sister Canada, are the perfect examples of service. And so I'm not going to take too much of your time. Please welcome. And I ask just for respect. We don't necessarily need an applause. We do not need an applause. Please welcome Pastor Canada.
Father God, we thank you for the bread of life, Jesus the Christ. We thank you that we are able to eat and drink at your table. And we thank you for the word that you have prepared a table before us this morning. May we eat and rejoice in your name. Jesus, we thank you. Amen. The grace of the Lord be with you all. I am so grateful to the Lord today to stand before his people and to share the good news of what our Savior has done. I'm also grateful to Pastor LaJuan for allowing me to stand before his flock this morning and take these minutes that we have been given by the Lord this morning to break the bread of life. Our text for this morning can be found in the book of the Revelation. The revelation that God gave to his servant John to reveal to us, his church. This book is not designed to be a mystery. It is designed to be unfolded, that the people of God might know where we are going, and that Christ Jesus is the one in charge of bringing this present age to an end. And so we don't want to look at this as something that is a mystery. Revelation chapter 5. We begin our reading in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Okay, it doesn't matter. I can't get my pictures. It's all right. I am told that on the pulpit of the Church of the Open Door downtown Los Angeles, there was an inscription written on the pulpit. And that inscription read, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." that anyone who stood at that pulpit would understand that their responsibility was to reveal Jesus. And so this morning, we trust that we can reveal to you, to us, Jesus as the Lamb of God. Is that one of the... go back. The other way. Keep going. There we go. There is a struggle going on in the world for power. And we know God has designed that there would be government in the nations, but there's this insatiable desire for absolute power. Nations desire to rule other nations. Some nations want to rule all the nations of the world. And then there are those evil spirits who will work within the earth to suppress the peoples of the earth with their power. The whole earth, there's a struggle for power around the space of the earth. There are powerful entities who wish to control the space around the earth, even though they have already been defeated. It doesn't stop them. Mankind, we put our satellites and we establish space armies, because we want to have the power over the space around the earth. Nations are struggling to put their satellites so they can spy on other nations, so they can find a way of weakness in other nations, that they can have supreme power in the earth. Even in the galaxies, in the universe, there are spiritual beings throughout the universe who seeks to have the power over God's creation. But who's really in charge? This is the road to supreme power. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain, raised from the dead, and put his the marks of his wounds out to see that I have conquered. And so that brings us to our text. In this book of the Revelation, God's servant John was on an island called Patmos. And John was not on Patmos having a great time on his vacation. He was not drinking piña coladas out of coconuts and pineapples. John was on the island of Patmos because the powers that were in John's days, the Roman government, had exiled John to the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel and bearing witness of what Jesus Christ had done. So he was exiled. And not only was John suffering persecution, but the churches in Asia were suffering persecution from the powers that were. The same powers that put Christ to the cross were the same powers that John and the churches in Asia were dealing with, the Roman government. But more than that, those same powers that came into the Garden of Eden and said, "Hath God said you shouldn't eat of the tree?" You know what he did? He stole the power from Adam to have reign over what God had created in the earth. The Lord said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And what is the son of man that you would visit him? I have made him a little lower than the angels, and I have put all things under his feet. The cattle of the land, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. I have given that power to Adam." But the usurper of power came and ripped Adam off. And so John is on this island of Patmos. He's been persecuted for the gospel's sake. And so what is the church to do? Jesus had been raised from the dead some years. He had gone back into heaven, and the church was still going on, and his church was still being persecuted. And what they... "When are you coming, Lord? How is this going to end? Is this going to continue?" "Yeah, we are preaching you, but we are suffering for this." And so the resurrected Christ reveals himself to John on the island of Patmos. And he said, "John, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last." In other words, I have the first word about everything, and I have the last word about everything. Don't let these powers deceive you. He says to John, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." It's sealed. I am alive. And not only that, I have the keys of hell and death in my own hand. And something else I want you to tell the church, John. I am in the midst of the church. I walk in the midst of the church. I am present. I am not an absentee landlord. I am not an absentee God who cannot be reached, who does not commune with his people. Did not he say, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer"? He wants to sup with us. And so he says, "I'm in the midst of the church." And he says another thing, John. "I have the messengers of the church in my hand." There's been a lot of back and forth about who are the messenger of the church. It doesn't matter. What it matters is, it doesn't matter if they're the angels sent to minister to the church. There are angels that are sent to minister to Grace Bible Church. Or if it's the pastor, your pastor is in the hand of the great I Am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Your elders are in the hand of the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are in the hand of Almighty God. And so he said, John, write what you have seen. That is, you saw me, you heard what I said, you write that. And not only do you write that, but write the things that are. You write what I have seen in the churches. You let the church know that I know, church at Ephesus, that you have drifted from your first love. Your pastor talked about drifting. He warned us about drifting a couple of weeks ago. Ephesus had drifted from their first love. Yet there were some good things about Ephesus. So the Lord knows the good, the bad, and the ugly of it all. He says, I know that one of the churches dwell where Satan's seat is, where his power is. That's the seat of his power. He's there, and the church is in that area proclaiming me. And the devil is going to try some of you. He's going to cast some of you into prison. But here's what I want from you. Be faithful to me. And so John has given us this revelation of Jesus the Christ. And so in chapter 5, we start that we see someone sitting on a throne. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Now, we could assume that this is God. Who else would be sitting on the throne in heaven? But in chapter 4, we find that there are some living creatures who are around the throne of God, and all they do is say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which is to come. So it's God sitting on the throne. And if you don't take anything away from this today but knowing this, that no matter what you see, no matter what NBC, Fox News, or anybody else shows us of who's in power, understand that God's on the throne. He is the Almighty God. He said to Abraham in Genesis 17, Abraham, walk before me, the Almighty God, and be perfect. Yes, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our God. Did you know that? That our God reigns, and he's the Almighty God. There was a usurper in heaven named Satan, a Lucifer. He tried to usurp God's power. He said, I will be like the Most High God. I will stand above the throne of God. In other words, I will rule over God. Guess what it cost him? Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Don't ever try to usurp God. He's the Almighty God, and He is on the throne. The other thing interesting about verse 1 is that He's sitting on the throne, but He has a scroll, not a book. It's a scroll written. You have that scroll with you, dear? No, but a scroll written on the backside and on the inside. Now, John did not know what was in the scroll. But we know what was in the scroll, because as we read through the book of the Revelation, we see the events unfold. The scroll contains the mystery of God, the mind of God. How is God going to take us through to the end? What events are going to take place? What battles are going to take place? How are the nations going to respond to the rule of God? They're going to rebel and they're going to curse God. So don't be surprised. If the world hates you, don't get startled. Jesus said it hated me before it hated you. And you are my servants. If they did the master that way, what do you think they're going to do to your to his servants? And so, it is who's going to navigate the world to its climax? Who's going to be in charge of that? It says in verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Verse 3, and no man in heaven, in other translations it says, no one in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. When I read this, I could almost feel the tension. Who is going to take charge by their power? And there's quietness. You can hear a pin drop in heaven. And no one spoke up. No one in heaven, not a strong angel in heaven spoke up. Not the men of power on the earth spoke up and said, hey, I can deal with that. Not anyone under the deep abyss of the earth spoke up. Why? Because if you said, I'm able to do it, you know what you had to do? You had to walk up and look straight in the face of Almighty God and say, I'm able, and take the scroll. But no one was able. And John said, I began to weep. And John wasn't just crying these silent tears that was rolling down his face. He wasn't crying the tears of a professional mourner who beats on their chest until they works themselves up into a frenzy and began to shed alligator tears. No. John was crying. These tears was coming out of the depths of his soul. There is no one to orchestrate this thing. And the Lord just promised me he was going to reveal to me the things that were to come. And he wept. But then, one of the 24 elders, and we're not going to try to explain everything in this, but one of the 24 elders, which represents the church in heaven. Did you know that there's a part of the church that's already in heaven? As your pastor said this morning, our brother is going to be with the Lord. He's in heaven this morning. And when we get to this great chorus of worship and praise, guess what? He probably is one around there praising the Lord. He wept. But we take note. In verse 5 says, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So the elder says that, John, there's someone that's able. He's the lion out of the tribe of Judah. And you can imagine how John's heart leaped. But when John turned to look, he did not see a lion. He saw a little meek lamb. What? A lamb? A lamb that has to be carried in the shepherd's bosom himself? A lamb that's too dumb to know he's gone to the slaughter and he won't even cry out, save me? But this is not an ordinary lamb. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb that John the Baptist out in the wilderness, out in the desert place. I live in the desert, so I know what it is to live in the desert. John is out there in the desert preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sin and baptizing people in the River Jordan. And as John is doing his job, one day he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is no ordinary lamb that John sees in heaven. This lamb has three things. First, he has the mark of a lamb that's been slaughtered. But hold up. John said, this lamb is different. This lamb has seven horns. And horns in the scripture represents power. Power that men are seeking. Perfect power, seven horns, and seven eyes. The Lamb sees everything, everywhere, and knows what's going on everywhere. For the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. And the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, showing himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are right before him. We deal with this mark on this lamb. The mark on the lamb. You know, crucifixion was not a beautiful thing. It was a slaughter. And if you ever seen a slaughter, it's not pretty. I was raised on a farm. And my father would get his friends to come, and they would all come for the slaughtering of a pig, of a hog. And every now and again they would slaughter a goat. And it used to upset me so bad. You could hear this goat just crying and gnawing like he's trying to say, please don't do it. But you know what? This lamb with the mark of the slaughter on him, when he stood before the powers of this world, he stood in Pilate's hall. Pilate said, are you a king? Jesus didn't answer him. And because Pilate, of his power, he says to Jesus, you refuse to speak to me? Don't you know who I am? I have the power to put the thumbs down on you. And Jesus said, look, you don't have any power over me except it was given you by God. The lamb has this mark on him. It is the mark of a perfect sacrifice. Because this sacrifice is to cause God, who sits upon the throne, to forgive sins. And he doesn't accept anything with flaws in it. There have been many people that were crucified, but they were crucified because the Roman government found them guilty of a crime, and because they were guilty of sin before God, they were not able to do anything for you or me. But the Lamb is that perfect sacrifice Peter said to the church, you all know that none of us was redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold. None of you paid anybody anything for your redemption. But we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or without blemish, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but hath been revealed in these last times for us, who by him, who by the Lamb, do believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that our faith and our hope might be in God. Our hope is based upon what the Lamb did, his mark. He's the perfect sacrifice. And secondly, is a mark of love. It's a mark of sacrificial love that the Lamb is bearing. For greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. And no one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to raise it up again. It is a sacrifice of love. It is sacrificial love that's the mark on this Lamb. And not only that, sacrificial love has a great cost. Sacrificial love is not giving up a day's worth of Starbucks coffee so you can feed the poor. Sacrificial love is what Paul wrote about to the Philippian church. That Jesus, the Christ, the eternal Son of God, God himself, emptied himself of his glory and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's sacrificial love. And that's what the Lamb did for us. And so the Lamb of God is able to orchestrate this world to its end because of what he has done. And he takes the scroll out of the wand of him that sits upon the throne. And I want us to know that God does not entrust the purposes of what he's doing in the world to someone who is not capable of carrying it out. He only entrusts it to the Lamb. And so for us, that means our times and our safety. And the fact that we will be brought into God's eternal kingdom is in the hand of the Lamb. And my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. For the Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And here's the bottom line. You know what? My Father and I, said Jesus, are one. One and the same. The Lamb that Mark is so powerful it draws men to him. If I be lifted up from the earth, saith the Lord, I will draw all men unto me. And guess what? In this chapter 5, we read there are people out of every nation, every language, every kindred, every tongue around the throne of God. That's how powerful redeeming love is. And because he has done what he has done, what no one in the universe could do, the Lamb has done. And so heaven breaks out in a new song. Because of what the Lamb has done. Verse 9, And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. And we don't have time to go through all of this, but the power of the Lamb of God brought us to God, redeemed us out of all nations, made us to be priests before God. We can go in before God. We're not like Aaron, who had to bring blood with him. The blood has already been brought in by the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. He bears the scars, and the blood covers us, and now we can freely walk in as the priest of the living God. So let your prayers go up. And not only that, he made a promise. He said, you're going to reign with me. You're going to rule with me in the earth. And this is the last thing. Then there is a tidal wave of praise and worship that comes up out of heaven. The first tidal wave is a wave of those four living creatures and the 24 elders. They are worshiping God. And that tidal wave sweeps through the whole universe. And before that can die down, another tidal wave. And it's all the angels of God. Another tidal wave sweeping through the universe. And before that dies down, the whole universe stands up and starts to praise and worship the Lamb for what he has done. And I say that's what this church ought to do. So the bottom line today is the Lamb has triumphed, and he has the marks to prove it. So what will we do? If I don't know Christ this morning, what will I do? Being that the Lamb has extended his hands to me and said to me the same thing he said to Thomas. Thomas, I know you don't believe, but look at my hands. And if that's not enough for you, Thomas, put your finger in my side. And when Thomas put his finger in the Lord's side, you know what he said? My Lord and my God. Will you respond that way this morning? Will you declare him to be your Lord and God? And if you are the children of God this morning, will you join that tidal wave of praise and worship that went through the whole universe? Will we join in this morning with all the angels and all of creation and say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him to be Lord of all. Will we say our God is an awesome God? He reigns in heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And will we say, O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. His grace be with your spirit. And I turn you back to the shepherd of the flock, Pastor LeVon.